This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, good morning. Chilly. Yeah, stay warm, my friends. It is 6:08, your time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's also Trash Talking Tuesday, next to Florence Recycling. Could you imagine being upside down in an airplane? You just landed. You just, like, that sigh of relief. The wheels touch. And then all of a sudden, beep, you're upside down?
No.
Wow. We'll get into that. Want to remind you, Bob Rose Golf Scramble is on, of course, Friday, April 4th, Hawkstone Golf and Country Club. Hole-in-one features including a car from Southeast Car Agency, a luxury vacation with Cruise Planners and Brandon Kuttner. And this benefits the ARC of Alachua County and their great work with the developmentally disabled for decades now. And this is their largest fundraiser of the year. And we've been doing it for years, and we've been blessed with the level of success. So there's a limited number of slots. If you'd like to go, go to arcalachua.org or call Mark Johnson directly at 352-246-3516. Badly injured child was among the what's reported to be 18 people now, I believe, who were hurt Monday on a Delta Airlines plane that flipped upon arrival at Toronto's Pearson Airport. Really, is that anything short of a miracle?
Oh, my goodness.
That plane didn't go up in flames, didn't bust apart further other than a wing clipping off, which I guess that was even a blessing, too, because a lot of the fuel stored in the wing. Mm-hmm. The airport confirmed on X that the incident occurred, a Delta flight from Minneapolis, that all 80 passengers and crew were accounted for, and the one child, very small child, was hurt in critical condition, and hopefully we'll get a positive update on that. The plane's a Mitsubishi CRJ-900LR. It was upside down on the snowy tarmac. I have not seen any video
of
the plane landing and flipping. Have you?
No, that's kind of surprising. You'd think, no matter the size of the airport, something like that was landing in, you'd have cameras all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, people are traveling, tourists. They've always got their phones in their hands.
Yep.
And you would think somebody would have a video, but if it hasn't made it to a viral state,
yeah,
I guess.
The only video I've seen is from one of the passengers after he got off the plane.
After off, yeah.
Yeah, but as far as the landing and the crash itself, nothing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Senior Russian and U.S. officials meeting in Saudi Arabia today and discussing improved relations and an end to Moscow's war in Ukraine, but there's no representatives there from Kyiv. Marco Rubio is there, Secretary of State. Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov. He has led the delegation, and this is in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. So if they do come up with some solutions, apparently Zelensky said Monday that Kyiv will not accept the outcome if his country is not in attendance in the meeting. Well, Ukrainian officials aren't participating. I don't know if that was done on purpose. But, you know, trying to meet with the Russian folks, see what their needs are, then maybe meet with their counterparts in Ukraine. And, you know, without putting him in the room and it being maybe a little too divisive, not ready for that yet.
You get a framework first.
Yeah.
You know, put all those other brains in the room, come up with some ideas, and then go from there.
But Zelensky, if he's getting some sort of attitude, like, I won't accept anything that comes out of that meeting. Well, why would you say that? Why would you take that off the table? You'd say, well, we're not participating in the meeting. I would have to really look at whatever material, whatever ideas they come up with. It's a work in progress. I don't know. You could be much more positive and saying, well, I'm not there, so you know, we're not going to accept anything that comes out of there. What if we say, well, you know what? We'll tell you what to accept, or you won't be accepting any more of our weapons or money, pal. Yeah. What do you think of that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I won't listen to anything you guys, Matt, talk about.
Not a good attitude to take.
I don't think so.
No.
Doge. A treasure doge. A treasure trove.
Of doge. Yes.
Of money.
Yes.
Found. Listen to this. This stuff is just crazy. Doge discovered an identification code linking U.S. Treasury payments to a budget line item, which accounts for nearly $4.7 trillion in payments. Now, there's a little ID code that goes along with the payment. But oftentimes, apparently, it's left blank. And when it's left blank, you don't know where the money's going. You can't, I guess, apparently track it or trace it, or at least not from that point.
That's interesting. So yes. Who has control of this code?
Somebody in Treasury, you would think. Yeah. This is crazy. The $4.7 trillion in payments and was often left blank, making traceability almost impossible. As of Saturday, well, they changed it. They said it's now a required field. In other words, you have to put a symbol there,
denoting
where it's going. And the agency thanked the U.S. Treasury for their work in identifying the optional field. According to the Bureau of Fiscal Service, which is under the Treasury, TAS codes, as they're known as, Treasury Access Symbol, TAS. These are used to describe any one of the account identification codes assigned by Treasury, also referred to as the account. All financial transactions made by the federal government are classified by TAS when reporting to the Treasury and the Office of Management and Budget, OMB. So they all are supposed to have a symbol. They haven't been. Now they will again. The discovery was announced on the same day Doge appeared to have populated the Doge.gov savings page, which as of Monday evening said the total estimated savings since the establishment of the department is about $55 billion and counting.
Wow.
It is 6:15. Good morning. Welcome. Stay warm, my friends. It is a chilly start, and it is a trash-talking Tuesday with plenty more to talk about, including the border and a former FBI assistant director saying something really stupid, and he's not the only one. I'll share that with you. I'll give you my take. Coming up, News Talk 97.3, The Sky.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Another day in paradise. It's a cool start, though. Get all wrapped up, all warmed up. Those heated seats cranked up.
Yeah.
I feel like a giant wuss when I turn those on, but then once the tuchus starts getting all warmed up, I'm like, ah, this is good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Anyway, it is 6:21. Good morning. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Some of your top stories, Delta Airlines. I mean, man, they took this trip and they just turned things upside down. Including the plane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Flips on the landing. And the most awesome thing about it is nobody died. Now, there's one baby that's pretty injured, but like 18 people with some injuries. You'd expect something. And a lot of people are going to get checked out, maybe just in case, depending on your age and stuff. You know, probably not a bad idea. But I mean, really miraculous. So we've got that. We've got Russian and U.S. officials meeting in Saudi Arabia to begin talks on Ukraine. Nobody from Kiev is there, And Zelensky says, whatever comes out of the meeting, I'm not going to follow it. Mm-hmm. So he's already, I don't know, playing some kind of sore loser card. It's not going to work to gain more help and aid from us, I can tell you that. And in Russia, maybe they're trying to sweeten the pot a little bit, trying to play the, you know, we're not that bad card. They reportedly freed a second American detained on drug charges less than a week after releasing that teacher, Mark Fogel, from 3 years in captivity. U.S. official on Monday confirmed. Russian media reports Caleb Wayne Byers, 28, was released about 10 days after he was detained along with his Russian fiancée. Byers and his fiancée were taken into custody February 7. Upon arrival from Istanbul, custom officials said they found cannabis-laced gummies or marmalade in his bags. Russian officials accused him of smuggling a significant amount of banned cannabis into the country, a charge that might have landed him in prison for 10 years. Russian media says Byers was released into the care of the U.S. Embassy in Moscow and on Sunday evening, and I'll fly back to the U.S. as soon as possible. Now, according to Byers' family, he had traveled to Russia via Istanbul to finalize the details of marrying his fiancée and was carrying cannabis gummies to treat his epilepsy. His father said he suffered an epileptic seizure while in detention on Friday, but was not given the medication he needed. Byers' mother, Tanya Shuler, described her son as an upstanding citizen getting ready to marry the love of his life. He's a resident of West Virginia, works at a hospital. So Russia's releasing him. Is that kind of a show of good faith as they meet together in Saudi Arabia and try to iron out some kind of agreement maybe where we can end this war between Russia and Ukraine? I hope so. I'm thinking positive about it. And then from the idiot file, and trust me, it's not the lone story, obviously, you get this former FBI assistant director, Frank Figlusi. Figlusi. Hey, Frankie. So he was on MSNBC, and he said he was talking about Rince Priebus and a clip that was played. He said, "Nothing to see here. Don't worry. Remain calm. He occasionally likes to take a grenade out and throw it on the floor and see what happens. I'll tell you what happens when you play with a live grenade and toss it on the floor. Eventually, it explodes." Wow. Did you learn that in the FBI Academy, pal? The only question for us is whether it's going to explode back on Trump or explode and hurt the rest of us. What? My money is on both, by the way. People are going to get hurt, and eventually it'll blow back on Trump. He continued with regard to this statement when he says, don't worry that someone who saves his country cannot violate a law. It's been attributed by some historians, maybe to possibly Napoleon. He says, but I'll tell you where. It's definitely been used far more recently. That's with a white supremacist, far-right extremist named Anders Breivik in Norway, who killed 77 people in Norway. What? So you're comparing the president to a mass murderer white supremacist. Wow. Okay, you're a class act, Figluzzi. He says now our president is quoting that white supremacist neo-Nazi murderer. If you voted for that, you really need to question whether you're American anymore. But that's who's using that kind of statement. So you find any statement that mirrors something that some nutbag mass murderer said, and automatically what? You can never make that statement again? Is that? You've taken probably a lot of words off the table, number one. But he says, listen, does Trump sit and read Norwegian history? Hell no. Someone is handing him the story, this quote. We need to figure out who keeps spoon-feeding him the white supremacy, white terrorist philosophy.
Wow.
Okay. Stop. Stop with the white supremacist baloney, this name-calling. Do not be accepting of it anymore. I I'm reaching out to, you know, middle of the road and lefty acquaintances. Stop it. You know it's not true. You know it's not accurate. Do you know anything about white supremacy? I can tell you, high on their list of things they don't like, Jews.
Mm-hmm.
There is no way that you can call Trump a white supremacist at the same time he has been absolutely the best friend as a president to Israel in the history of our nation. In the history of our nation, Israel has never had a better friend than Donald J. Trump. White supremacists don't hang out with Jews. They don't like Jews. Some of them want to hurt Jews. But none of them like them. Quit calling Trump a white supremacist. He absolutely, positively is not in any way, and you know it. The left is so weak, so ugly, so desperate. They have nothing else. They don't have a better way. They haven't had a better idea in half a century. They're losers. They're sore losers. They're ugly. And they definitely have Trump derangement syndrome. You people are sick. 9:28 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy's here. Yeah, we got plenty. We got plenty coming up on 97.3 The Sky. Well, good morning. Happy Trash Talking Tuesday, thanks to Florence Recycling. It is 6:38. I'm Bob Rose. Greg Cassidy is here. Morning, Greg.
Good morning.
Delta Airlines plane flips upside down, landing in Toronto. And everybody basically walks away. Now, baby's in critical condition, and there's like 17 others that, you know, have anything from aches and pains to maybe some more serious injuries, but really, by and large, wow.
Can you imagine, you know, I mean, it's a small plane, but, you know, imagine hanging upside down. I mean, we always see the video, you know, a Jeep rolls over, a car rolls over, people are hanging in their seatbelt. But imagine that in a plane after landing.
It really, I'm telling you, the fact that the whole thing didn't bust in pieces and didn't also go up in flames. I mean, it's miraculous. And then there's always got to be some political angle. Oh, and it's usually going to be somebody who has a very small brain and possibly somebody who, you know, was sucked in by a Chinese spy named Fang Fang.
Oh, I know where we're going.
This guy has no shame. He's got to be one of the dumbest members of Congress. He's absolutely an idiot.
Box of rocks.
Now, people that vote for Eric Swalwell in California, those people must be dense. You know,
the
IQ of a box of rocks. He really is. Mm. No, but he's beyond the pale. He's not just like a lefty. He's like a lunatic dumb. He's like a dumb lunatic lefty. You know?
Yeah. And like you said, shameless. Some of these people, after the stupid things they've done, should never criticize anybody in public.
Yeah. This guy, anyway, yeah, he was cavorting with a Chinese spy. He never got in trouble for that, which is bizarre. Of course, that was under, you know, the old FBI regime. But anyway, you know what he said recently? No president has had more planes crash in their first month in office than Donald Trump.
Now, do you think he did his homework before he actually said
absolutely
that out loud?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely not. First of all, it was easily debunked by the NTSB. Okay?
And they keep track of these things.
But really, why would you even make a statement like that? And I heard another lefty wingnut nut job on one of those stupid MSNBC, CNN, whatever they are. I don't even know what to call them anymore. On there saying that, with the FAA, we really need to look at this with the FAA, and that they need to have more people in the towers and all this, and you know, Trump with all his big cutbacks in government. I'm like, you idiots. He's trying to get good qualified people in the FAA, and they should know that if they're willing to comment on national television. Are you that dense? They're that shameless. Mm-hmm. It's maybe not totally stupidity. Maybe they keep thinking that they can lie to the American people and get away with it. They paid no attention to the last election. But the American people were starting to pay attention, and that's what made the difference. So Eric Swalwell, what an idiot with his statement. And there were others who said the same thing. Okay, so first of all, Trump is doing everything he can to up those numbers. It's not going to happen overnight, but there's going to be plenty of people in the towers. But here's what some of these bozos were forgetting. Let me check here. Where'd that plane flip over, that Delta plane? In Toronto. Last time I checked, Toronto's not part of the 51st state. It's still called Canada, and they have their own transportation people, and they have their own people that work in the tower.
See,
they don't
more
work for the Federal Aviation Administration because they're not in this federal jurisdiction.
But apparently it's one more reason we should have them as the 51st state, so we could take care of that.
Okay.
You know,
well, there could be something
to
help
out. You know.
But, I mean, for the people that they're saying these things, like, yeah, somehow we must blame it on Trump.
Yeah.
And then apparently Elon Musk talked about an experience that he had not too long ago. And he said he didn't realize Trump derangement syndrome was a real thing. I happened to mention the president's name. This was at a dinner party. And it was just a month or two before the November 5th, 24 election. He said, I'm there. And he says, I happened to mention the president's name. Just mentioned his name. And it's like they got shot with a dart in the jugular that contained methamphetamine and rabies.
Wow. What a line.
So like they're frothing at the mouth.
It's true, though.
Yeah.
It's true.
Musk imitated people at the party going crazy and questioned why they couldn't have a normal conversation. It's like they'd become completely irrational. Yeah. I've experienced it personally myself.
We have seen that, yes.
Musk and Trump sat down for a wide-ranging interview last week. This was with Hannity and discussed Doge and all that. But, I mean, the folks still have it.
Oh, yeah.
Trump derangement syndrome, and it may even be worse than the first time they got it. It's Trump COVID.
Well, apparently it's somewhat contagious because now Elon's got it. You know, so they kind of have that same effect.
Well, they're deranged, you know, over him. They're the ones that are diseased.
Well, yes.
The lefties are the ones with the diseased minds that cannot have a regular conversation. They cannot deal in facts.
No.
They cannot have any sort of an honest debate in any way. And they are going further and further to, like, quench their anti-Trump hatred with more and more far-left lunatic fringe opinions. They're devouring it. I've seen it on Facebook. People that, you know, are my friends and didn't seem to be outwardly all that political. I could have guessed maybe where some of them stood.
Right.
But I mean, really, they're laying it on thick now. And so they're reposting a lot of people. First of all, I've never heard of these people. And they try to act like these people have some level of credibility. And then you read it and you go, well, none of this is actually based on facts. None of it is actually true. And they're sending it to all their friends. Well, you, this one really nails it. You really need to read this. We need to, you know, we need to be prepared and
right.
all these warnings and all that. And it, these are people that I've known that are, you know, what I would consider normally, you know, intelligent people.
Yeah, but Bob, look at all those comedians and actors who got rounded up and put in concentration camps. That
I haven't seen that story yet.
Oh. Well, maybe it hasn't happened yet, but they're still worried about it.
All right. We have some things related to the border. Actually, pretty good news. In fact, we will get to that coming up on the Bob Rose Show, which is available on podcast, wherever you normally get your podcast, or you can download it from the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Just click on subscribe, and you'll never miss a minute of the Bob Rose Show, like the interview that we're going to conduct with Bobby Schultz, Gilchrist County Sheriff, coming up at 8:05. See, things like that. 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's a Trash Talking Tuesday, thanks to Florence Recycling. And yes, it is a chill start to your morning, so be prepared for that. And Greg and I, off here, we're kind of perusing into the future days ahead, and we're going to have some chilly weather. I mean, no freezes, it looks like. We're out of the woods as far as that goes, it looks like, anyway. But still some pretty cool weather.
Yeah, probably we're talking about beginning of next week when we start seeing what we'd like to consider normal. So
come on,
especially
man.
Especially the morning. It's going to be chilly.
Bike week, we got spring training baseball, we need that sunshine.
Uh-huh.
Hey, it was on this day in 2001, Dale Earnhardt Sr., considered one of the greatest, died at the age of only 49. It was a last lap crash at the 43rd Daytona 500 in Daytona Beach, Florida.
I remember that so well.
So do I. And talking about it, you know, on the air, and I was in Orlando at that time, and he was, of course, driving his famous black number 3 Chevrolet. Mm-hmm. He was vying for third place at the time when he collided with another car, and then it was the way that he hit the wall.
He was doing a little blocking there for Michael Waltrip and Dale Jr., and, of course, Michael, you know, ended up winning the race, and that was such a tragic thing. You know, there he was. He won, and he doesn't know what happened. Now, his brother is up in the tower, had been calling the race, and he was concerned. I mean, you could hear it in his voice. He knew it was bad. But and then he got Michael down there looking for Dale. It's like, because he was part owner of the team. He's like, where's Dale? You know, I just won the race, and he's not here.
Right.
I can't imagine. Just everybody had their angle and perspective on that.
And we have seen so many incredible wrecks.
Oh, with him, yes.
And so many survive, and many times don't even hardly get hurt. It's crazy. And then you had something that really didn't look, just from a, you know, an amateur's eyes for sure, didn't look all that bad, really.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just get the right angle, the right speed, the right force, and,
Sad day. Very sad day.
Yep, it was.
It's still weird for me, though, and I mentioned this to you off the air. Since we are now far older, sorry to have to use the word far in there, than he was at that time, that feels odd to realize how long ago it was, because he was 49.
Mm-hmm.
But it was 01. So
yeah, it's like it happened in the 2000s, so it wasn't that long ago, we keep thinking in our minds,
but it was.
We're a quarter of a century into.
Yes.
Into this 2000s. It's crazy. All right. It is, 6:54 right now on the Bob Rose Show. We've got good news about the border. As you might suspect, border crossings are way down. Border Czar Tom Homan reported over the last 24 hours There were only 229 illegal alien encounters along the southwest border. That's quite a drop from 11,000 a day under Biden. 11,000 a day. And when you have 11,000 a day coming across, how many are you not catching? Yeah. How many are you not getting and coming in contact with? Yeah. So this is great news. And Tom Homan said, I started as a Border Patrol agent in 1984, and I don't remember the numbers ever being that low. But Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and the corporate media told me this wasn't possible unless we passed a massive border security bill that would allow 35,000 illegal aliens into our country every week before additional border controls were triggered. Remember, that was the deal that they said, oh, this, here's what you need. And everybody who read it and looked at it, we said, are you kidding me? 35,000 a week is not border control. Oh, but I'm glad that he brought that up.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Also in related news, because Team Trump has put a stop to all these illegal aliens invading our country, a shelter for illegals is closing down in San Diego. No more $20 million a year for you. $20 million is what it costs to run one shelter for a year.
Wow.
Near San Diego. He said, naturally, this was an NGO funded on tax dollars that acted as a magnet to attract illegals so the NGO could continue receiving federal dollars to handle illegals. You know, they used the money to get them to the border, to send them there. Mm-hmm. Then once they're there, they're going, hey, you want us to help handle the illegals? Well, give us some more tax money. Yeah.
Wow.
A vicious left-wing circle to steal our money, ravage our culture with third worlders who have no interest in doing anything other than taking our welfare while flying the flag of their home country. Many of them, yeah, and some far more dangerous than just flying the flag of their home country. We've got a lot more to talk about. A lot more information we're going to share with you on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Stay warm. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky.